performer, obsessed with growth, and looking for an edge? Welcome to Mind Body Peak Performance. Together, we'll discover underground secrets to unlocking the full potential of your mind, body, and spirit. We'll learn from some of the world's leading minds, from ancient wisdom to cutting-edge tools and everything in between. This is your host, Nick Urban. Enjoy the episode. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Mind Body Peak Performance. I'm your host, Nick Urban, a Czech practitioner, data scientist, and holistic performance health coach. Every week, I bring you essential life skills, strategies, and tools not taught in school to help you build the ultimate high-performance lifestyle. This episode wraps up our series on building your perfect body. To wrap things up for us, I brought on Nate Palmer. Nate is an NASM-certified personal trainer and corrective exercise specialist. He is also a precision nutrition level 1 coach. Nate is the best-selling author of Passport Fitness, the no-nonsense guide to staying in shape no matter what city you wake up in. He's also the author of the Million Dollar Body Method and the founder and creator of Bod in a Box. Nate specializes in working with entrepreneurs and business owners to create energy, focus, and a lean, healthy body that shows up for your work, family, and focus time. Most of our conversation today is about tips to losing fat. We also discuss how cardio is not the right approach. Nate shares with us his top tips, habits, and strategies to building all-day energy. We cover jet lag, changing time zones, and the things you can do to adapt faster, Nate's favorite supplements to accelerate building your ideal lean body, and essential fitness gear that you should bring with you when traveling. Nate and I talk a lot about walking and simple movements. I forgot to mention it in the episode, but I'm a big fan of something called rucking, which is essentially taking a backpack, sometimes specially designed for it, and loading it with weight, and then hiking around with that backpack on. It's the perfect solution for those that want to build strength but hate the gym, those that want cardio but hate running, those that want to bulletproof their joints, tendons, and ligaments without doing tons of specific stabilization work. In the show notes for this one, I include a guide I wrote after compiling all the research around rucking and what it does for you, the best gear, and all the things you need to know before starting. Bear with us. There's a little bit of background noise on this one, but sit tight and it will be worth it. Before we get into this episode, please leave a rating and review at the same place you downloaded this episode. That's what helps us get found and how I continue bringing you thought-provoking guests. Without further ado, sit back, relax, and take notes on everything you need to know to torch belly fat and sculpt your body. Today, I've got Nate Palmer on the show. Nate is the author of The Million Dollar Body Method, Passport Fitness, and also the host of the Million Dollar Body Podcast. Nate is a fitness and nutrition expert. Nate, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Nick. I'm super excited to get to chat today, brother.
Yeah, me too. Let's start off with something easy. So far today, what unusual things have you done for your health and performance?
Today? This is the easy one? Oh, man. Gonna get me later. So generally in the morning, like, I don't know, this is like unusual, but I always wake up, always have some water in it. Today I had water with lemon, doing kind of like a 5-day sugar detox with some members of my community at the moment, which has been really fun. The other maybe two unusual things that I did today was after each meal, so far breakfast and lunch, I've gone for a 10-minute quick walk, even though it's really hot outside. I really like how I feel after doing that. I feel like I digest my food better. I just feel more energetic throughout the day. And then I had some nicotine gum in preparation for this interview. I like it. I didn't want to have any more caffeine today. So just had a little bit of that and just spit it out. So I'm not chewing gum on camera.
I like it. How much nicotine do you use?
I use a 2-milligram piece and I probably have like one every 3 or 4 days.
And for those that don't know, nicotine is a powerful nootropic. Nate, what's your backstory? How did you get here and into health and wellness, nutrition, fitness?
I grew up at two sisters when I was 11 years old. My mom was taking my sisters to school, and I was home by myself waiting for the bus. And so during that time, some guy knocked on the door, and I didn't recognize him, so I didn't let him in. He wandered around back, broke a window, and came in the house. I was like, oh, shit, like that's not good. So being 11, I grab a steak knife from the kitchen. I go under my bed where I like hide, lock my door, and I hear him coming down the hallway to my room. And he starts pounding on my door. He's pounding my door for like 60, 90 seconds. Could have been 2 hours. I don't know. I was really freaked out at the time. So, and I remember at that time being like, I'm probably going to die right now. And then after that event, I was just like, you know, pretty traumatized, feeling pretty bad about myself. And I just was like, I don't ever want to feel this way again. I never want to feel like I'm powerless or like someone else is in charge or has control or whatever else. So I was like, kind of made it my at 11, you're not making like big life decisions, but I was like, I don't want to feel this way. I want to be big and strong. Like I see like Arnold Schwarzenegger and the guys in the movies look like. So I was like, you know what, if I have enough like super cool muscle, no one can ever hurt me again. That's kind of where it started. So fast forward, you know, 22 years, I've been working out for a good bit of those. And I've since realized that it's not all about like just like being big and physically imposing. Like a lot of the lessons that I've learned and things that I really am grateful for in my life have come having gone through that experience and having been like in the gym and being consistent and working on my nutrition and dialing in myself. And like, I think a lot of those things, those lessons, you don't learn until later on, because all you wanted like is just like, I want to be huge, bro. I want to size. So, but I'm really, really grateful for the whole length of the experience and just basically what weight training, nutrition has brought to my life.
I can relate. I have a similar story, and initially it was for aesthetics. And then as I did it more, I realized there's mental health, there's all kinds of carryover effects that impact other areas of your life positively.
Totally. Yeah. 100% agree with that.
In your book, The $1 Million Body Method, you mentioned that there is 7 key daily investments. What are those?
Yeah. So generally, like I like to talk about things in terms of investments, because I really believe that like that physical health and can bring financial success, or is at least a key component of it. I want to talk to people who are, you know, using their health, their wellness, their diet and their training as a way of amplifying their performance at work with their families. So I believe the investments to be, number one, wake up in the morning, have an AM routine. A lot of people are like, well, I gotta do all these things and have a complicated ritual and drink like fermented yak milk and stuff. And that's like, no, you're really busy. I got 2 kids under 3 at home right now. I don't have time to journal for an hour. It's never gonna happen for me. And I'm not sleeping enough to wake up earlier than I am. So all I think you need to do is wake up in the morning, have 32 ounces of water, and do 60 seconds of a vigorous exercise. I think that covers a lot of those bases. And you're out the door in less than 2 minutes. The second thing is like, and the nice thing about these daily investments is 3 of them are have the right breakfast, have the right lunch, and have the right dinner. We can talk about those a little bit more. Then I believe you should move for at least 20 minutes per day, drink a gallon of water every single day, and then write down your 3 critical tasks for tomorrow every single night. Take it out of your head, put it on a piece of paper, and then you'll be able to sleep better and also cue your subconscious in on how to help accomplish some of those tasks.
And why, like, when you recommend people move 20 minutes a day, is it spread out or is it all at once?
I mean, like some of my clients are so busy that they need to spread it out. For the most part, you can find 20 minutes. Most people watch TV at some point. So like, if it comes down to it, like you can find that, find 20 minutes, you know? If you need to split it, you absolutely need to, then you can, but.
I'm guilty of that also, where my morning routine, I'll add in things, add, and then all of a sudden the routine is 20 minutes, 40 minutes, 2 hours. Okay, I've been up for 3 hours now and I'm still finishing my morning routine. So at some point it's just like, what are the low-hanging fruit that I can take and improve my health and get ready for the day?
Yeah, like it's like it'd be great if we could journal and, you know, meditate and do all these things for a long time, but like at the end of the day, like what is the thing that's going to give you the biggest return on your investment? I'm always trying to view things through 2 lenses. Number one, fat loss. How do we get people fat loss? So if you're like, hey, how do I train for a marathon? Not your guy. Don't know how to do that for you. But if you're like, if you want to lose fat be lean for the rest of your life and you want to do it in a sustainable way that gives you a big term return on your investment, that's the way I want to look at things. That's how I'm always going to view stuff.
Well, in that case, let's talk about fat loss. What are some of the myths, misconceptions, and tips that you have for people?
The two biggest myths surrounding fat loss, number one is cardio is fat loss. And I believe that cardio, there's a time and a place, but what cardio is really good for is building your cardiovascular system and burning calories. Okay, so burning calories and fat loss, those are almost congruent, but not quite in the way that people think. People think that like, I need to do fat loss. I need to do what Rocky did in those movies and run the steps and put the hood on and do all these things. But it's really so much more about your nutrition than it is about like going out and running. And I think of it as like cardio versus weight training as like going to an arcade versus buying a PS5. Okay. Cardio, like you go and you run, you burn 350 calories. Awesome job. One time, 350 calories, you're out the door. You're done. Cardio is cheap. If you ever trained for a triathlon or a marathon or something like that, you'll know that you did it for a long time. You got your cardio up. You're feeling really good. You were good at the endurance aspect. You stopped for 2 weeks and all of a sudden you're like, why am I sweating so bad walking up these stairs? It takes consistent maintenance to maintain a cardiovascular, like being in good cardiovascular shape. Whereas weight training, if you have a limited amount of time, weight training is going to be much better because you're going to burn calories less than cardio, but you'll still burn calories. But you're also doing something better. You're building, you're improving, you're growing. And I think that is really, really important in terms of, you know, not necessarily always being like, I need to become less, but also you're building muscle, which allows you to burn more calories, increase your metabolism, increase your bone density. And then also, like, I don't know if you know this or not, but like every 1 pound of muscle you gain gives you the ability to absorb and hold on to 10 more grams of glycogen per pound. So you add on 10 pounds of lean muscle over the course of like a year or two, you're going to be able to hold and use 100 more grams of glycogen, which means you can eat about 400 more calories per day. And your body's going to be way more efficient at using and burning carbs. So you're going to be able to eat the foods. And you're not going to have to like restrict yourself to these 1200 calories brutal diets that a lot of people who lose weight end up having to be on. So those are the two biggest things. That's just one. That was only the first one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
All right. Well, the second one is 6 meals per day to boost your metabolic furnace. You heard that one?
I subscribed to it for a while too.
We all did, right? But like now it's just like the science out there that shows that that's just not the case. And you know, the craziest thing is that the way that myth came about was when like I think Metrics or some other like muscle building magazine started selling protein powder. They're like, shit, how do we sell more of this protein powder? They're like, well, you have to have 3 meals per day and also 3 shakes. So they just came up with this because the idea that like, when you're eating 3, like 6 small meals, you feel hungry. And people think, oh, I'm feeling hungry all day. My metabolism must be on fire. It's not. You're just hungry because you're eating small meals and you're constantly like keeping your body digesting foods. Your body's going to adapt to whatever. So you're going to do 1 meal per day, 6 meals per day, your body will adapt to those things. And now we know that like when you're in the state of digestion, you can't be burning fat. Your metabolism is not increasing. We're only burning fat when like basically we've removed all the food from our digestive tract, from our small intestine. So in terms of getting to that point where we're able to burn more fat, it's like having your phone plugged into the wall versus being on battery. You know, you're never going to be burning through into your battery when your phone is plugged in. So to remove the food, remove the cord, and now you can burn through that battery, burn through those stored fat. So like that's why I think fasting is really as a key component here, as well as you're not snacking between meals. I think snacking is a horrible habit.
One of those healthy habits that isn't actually that healthy. And I also fast, I guess, time restrict my eating so that I'm not eating much after sundown and I skip breakfast. And that way my body can tap into the body fat and then keep burning that as fuel until lunchtime when I eat. And even then it tends to be a low carb lunch. And then after I train, I will refeed in the evening with good amount of carbs. And contrary to what you'd see and hear everywhere, I don't think carbs are evil. And especially if they're used strategically, like when your muscles are depleted of glycogen.
And I actually just put out a I got my podcast will be releasing probably middle of June, but an episode about why carbohydrates are just so important for the reasons that you just mentioned, you know, for recovery, for restoration, for like, not like there's an Australian study that showed that having a big meal of carbs in it, it helps you actually sleep deeper and fall asleep faster if you're having it kind of within 4 or 5 hours of going to bed. So I think, you know, like this low carb, no carb keto phase that everyone's on right now is just that. It's just a fad. It's just a phase, because cutting out an entire, like entire macronutrient group. And not only that, but like the one that most humans existed on up until like 19 or like 1800, you know, like is completely asinine and backwards. So like, yeah, you're having butter in your, like you're having butter in your coffee and you're eating like 4 servings of bacon a day, but you won't have a scoop of rice. Like that's just mind blowing to me.
Yeah. Granted, you don't need carbohydrates to survive. Your body can create them via gluconeogenesis and other processes, but that doesn't mean they have no place. And I think the whole idea of looking at the macronutrients in a diet and completely ignoring the micronutrients is backwards.
Totally. Yeah, I agree. I don't think enough gets said about micronutrients.
Tell me about your approach to building all day energy.
Yeah. So basically kind of what we touched on before with the 7 daily investments, this comes down to the breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So breakfast, skipping breakfast, I used to be like big into that. But what I found is that it really promoted a bigger lunch, which, and then a bigger lunch led to lethargy during the afternoon. I also found that that most women do not do well on a time-restricted eating, like 16-8 fast. It can be really stressful to their bodies. It can put them into like early menopause, cause insomnia, skip periods, like bad stuff like that. So women on menopause or who have been through menopause can do pretty well with that, but I don't recommend it for most people. So generally I recommend having breakfast and having a high protein, high fat breakfast. Again, protein every meal, obviously we want that recovery, we want that rebuild, but then the high fats again create satiety. And then I believe fats to be a low impact fuel. Okay. Great for working, writing, reading, being on your computer, going for walks, things like that. And I think carbohydrates are high impact fuel. So they need to be taken at a specific time. Then lunch. Having a light lunch, I think, gives you an advantage in almost every way, because having high protein, high vegetable lunch, again, hitting those micronutrients that you brought up earlier, and then the protein again for recovery and for some satiety. And then I believe that leaving a little bit of like, so you're not stuffed or full at lunch, gives you more energy, gives you the ability to go through the digestion process quickly and then get back to whatever you're doing. So like I want my clients, the people that I'm working with, to be able to finish their lunch and then do 4 hours of work in 2 hours. So while their competition is cruising, like scrolling through Facebook, being like, man, I'm tired. They are crushing it. They're getting done and they're going home and they still have energy for their family.
Yeah. I found the biggest benefit of having a protein rich and fat rich first meal of the day is that you don't get the typical afternoon crash that a lot of people get. And you don't lose those like 2-3 hours in the middle of the day.
Yeah. When I was doing the 16-8, I wasn't doing just like a protein fat first meal. I was still doing like pretty much protein, carbs, and fats. And man, like, especially like you get really hungry, you work out or whatever else. And all of a sudden you're like 1200 calories deep for lunch. And you're like, I probably want to lay down now.
Tell me more about your stance on cardio. I know that you mentioned that resistance training for most people is a better option, unless you want to be a ultra marathoner or compete in some type of endurance activity. But let's talk more about cardio specifically.
Someone like asked me on one of my like social media platforms, like, why are you so against cardio? And I'm not against cardio by any stretch. I think that it's got a time and a place, and I really, really am against the idea that cardio is the best thing for fat loss. So I think that cardio is really, really important. I do cardio. I love cardio. I have my clients doing cardio, but I want them to do it as a way of boosting their heart health, boosting their recovery, and doing it in a way that doesn't impact or detract from their recovery in other areas. Most people are stressed. They're busy. They got a lot going on. So I don't want to give them a bunch of like steady state cardio that's going to increase their cortisol, you know, decrease muscle mass, or at least spend time not building muscle mass when that's the better option. But I do want people walking all the time. I love walking. I love, especially for people who are kind of in their 30s, 40s, and 50s, using outside implements for cardio rather than just going out and doing like running, impounding the pavement. So using a rower, using a bike, using something else to get that movement in. I think that's incredible. And yeah, it's nice to burn some calories, but I want when you're doing something, I want to keep the goal. So like when you're doing cardio, I'm not going to say like, oh, let's do cardio so you can burn more calories and you need a blueberry muffin. Like that's not what it's for.
Yeah. And if you think about it too, muscle is very metabolically inefficient, meaning it burns a lot more calories than fat. And the body is intelligent and recognizes that if you're running along, this extra muscle that you're carrying is a waste of resources. So it's probably better to store more of that fat and less of the muscle. And if you look at long distance runners compared to sprinters, very different physiques.
Very different. Yeah. You don't see a lot of bricked up marathon runners, huh?
What about something like a super slow style of training where your muscles are constantly under tension? Dr. Doug McGuff's research has shown that you build similar cardiovascular fitness as some different types of steady state exercise.
Like, so you're saying with the right kind of time under tension and tempo in an exercise, you can build cardiovascular capacity?
Yeah.
Interesting. I haven't read that research. I don't know about it, but I feel like anecdotally, I would tend to agree. I feel like weight training and building muscle has a big carryover into cardiovascular strength. And like, I can't go out and like keep up with my friends who are great mountain bikers, but even without having like been well practiced in it, I'm not dying out there, you know?
Yeah.
So I would tend to agree that like weight training has a bigger carryover to cardio than cardio does to weight training.
In certain things, like I will do kettlebell swings or even climb up the stairs of my apartment, look down at my heart rate monitor and see that, oh, my heart rate is at 170 beats per minute, like the same as when I'm sprinting if I do it for long enough. So there's something to explore there in terms of like alternative ways of getting into steady state cardio without having to run 10 miles every day.
I think honestly, man, walking, because like, okay, again, what's the highest ROI, right? Running costs, running's a stressor. So if you're getting cardio, but it's another cost, it's another like hole in your bucket. Like, is that what our stressed out, like overworked, like tired society needs, more stress? When I think that you can take like walking, people are walking with a weight vest and that's a recovery tool. So you're getting cardio and recovery tool, big ROI. Running, not so much. So I'm always going to tend to pushing people towards walking. Always, always, always.
I recorded an episode with Ben from the Fit Lab podcast, and it was mostly about walking over running and alternative movements and little things you can do, like climbing trees that train different stabilizers and muscle groups that you don't get from either like your typical gym routine or even running, jogging, that kind of thing. What do you think about the popular boot camps and fitness classes that you see everywhere and you hear about?
Yeah, I'm like, again, my lens is fat loss. I don't like them because like we got to keep the goal. So what is the goal of those things? And they'll say like, well, it's muscle building, but it's not. You're doing 25 reps with weights that you can do 40 reps with. Like why? Like that's not muscle building. Those to me are burpees. Burpees are a cheap bullshit training tool used by inefficient and inexperienced trainees to make people tired. If I wanted to make someone tired, I'd just be like, go lunge for a fucking mile. I don't know. Like, it's not hard to make someone tired and sweaty. It is hard to make them better, okay? And boot camps rely on people not knowing the difference. Boot camp classes, HIIT classes. And yeah, you might like Zumba, you might like doing those things. And I want, like, if you like it, love that for you. Go do it. Have a great time. You love running? Great. I love you that you love running. But if you're doing it to get fat loss results, you're not doing it right. So I'm against HIIT classes. I'm against boot camps.
Tell me about some of the practical tips from your book, Passport Fitness, that once we get out of COVID and people start traveling more, they'll be able to use.
I basically forgot all the tips because I haven't been on a plane in months or years.
Yeah, that's true.
But basically for Passport Fitness was all about my experience traveling through South America with my wife for over 13 months. And so it was all about like, how do you go and find the right foods? Like, what do you do when you adjust to like jet lag? And how do you get to like the place where you can actually just like jump right in? So I feel like a lot of times, like for me, the biggest things are like, what do you do when you get off the plane? So number one is like, as soon as I get on the plane, I adjust myself to being the location's time zone that I'm arriving in. So if it's like, you know, traveling across, like overseas to Europe or something like that, and like they're sleeping, I will try to get a nap in right then and there, you know? Or if they're like, if they're awake at that time, I'll try to just stay up until that way I can go to sleep at like that at the regular time. And then, so like, there's no like, oh, I'm 10 hours behind right now. No, bitch, you are in it. So you need to like, you need to act like it. Because yeah. Like, there's nothing worse than wasting 3 days of your trip with jet lag when you can just kill it in the first day by just pushing through and just kind of adjusting your expectations accordingly. I also think that like first thing when you get somewhere is drink a shit ton of water and then go for a walk. Get outside, go walk around, because it's a great way to see the place you're in, as well as kind of like get that vitamin D, get some sunlight, get like kind of get your bearings and just like start off your trip on a really good note. So those are some of my favorite things. I talk a lot about TRX training and body weight movements and why I think those are optimal for a lot of humans.
Let's unpack that.
Okay. So I love bodyweight movements. I love the TRX. I took the TRX with me when we traveled. I used it pretty much every single day in the morning. And I think that like that bodyweight movements have a place in every single workout routine, whether you're a bodybuilder or a powerlifter or just looking for fat loss. And here's why, is that most bodyweight movements are what we call a closed chain exercises, which means that you are moving your body through space like a pull up versus moving an external load through space like a pull down. Mm-hmm. So when you're using a closed chain exercise, moving your body through space, you're becoming more aware of how your body moves. Additionally, you are kind of relying on this evolutionary mechanism we have where your body doesn't know what's happening. It just knows stress. So if you're pulling yourself up, it does not know that there's no cheetah chasing you that you have to get into a tree to escape from. So all it knows is like, hey, we're trying to pull ourselves up and there's a good chance we could die if we don't get this, if we don't get over the tree. So your body will respond in kind of similar to like how your example about like running, your body will be like, I guess we need more fat for fuel and store fat. You're pulling yourself up. It's going to be like, I guess we need to ditch this non-functional tissue in order to live. And we need to respond by having more muscle tissue, more things that can help us be stronger and get up. So a pull-up is actually going to help you burn more fat and help your body like understand to release fat way more than a pull down is going to.
And that's the same with all closed chain exercises?
I just find that closed chain exercises are just generally superior to open chain. Both like in terms of like muscle fiber recruitment as well as fat loss. So like that doesn't mean don't ever do dumbbell bench press. I think there's definitely a time and a place for it. You can load muscle fibers in a unique way. You can change the grips up, different things like that. You can load it a lot more appropriately than you like loading a push-up is hard past a certain point. But like if you were doing like push-ups and you could do the exact same amount of weight and progress it 5 pounds per week or whatever, I think that would probably still be superior than like doing a bench press.
Are you able to build strength without a significant load, without increasing the time under tension?
So no time under tension, no significant load?
Yeah.
Maybe. I would say like, you know, like strength is a spectrum, right? You got like maximal strength and kind of that 1 to 5 rep max. You got like hypertrophic strength, kind of like that 6 to 15. Then you got like endurance strength. So yeah, you can build endurance strength. If you go from like 10 pushups to 50 pushups, but like, is that going to increase your max strength? Not in an appreciable way. I don't think it's going to turn you into some sort of hulked out.
And do you use BFR training or HIIT or any of those when you travel?
I wasn't using BFR at the time. I got a little bit more into that more recently, like 2016 on. HIIT, it depends on kind of how you define HIIT. I like HIRT, H-I-R-T, high intensity resistance training. So like taking an exercise that I can do, like let's say like a pull-up, a press, a squat, something like that. So like 3 exercises in a row. Let's say I can do 10 reps of each of the weight. Doing 5 reps in a circuit, I think is a nice way of training. So you can kind of keep the intensity high, get a lot of work done. Cause when I'm traveling, I'm not generally trying to like make huge strides. I'm trying to just keep my training going, do something enjoyable. So, and then also get done so I can go like beat and go travel, like do the thing that I'm there to do, not like work out on my TRX. So I like those faster workouts. I do like BFR training, but I didn't do it when I was traveling.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I don't know if everyone knows BFR being blood flow restriction training, like, or the CATSU method.
Yeah, where you put a little cuff on your arm or your limb and it occludes the blood from traveling back via the veins.
That's right, yeah.
You've mentioned that you're interested in stoicism and have a unique take on self-loathing and personal angst. What's that?
It feels like when I said those things to you, I've been drinking a lot of caffeine. That is kind of the impression I'm getting from past Nate. Yeah, but I like the idea of stoicism. I wouldn't say that like I'm a stoic or kind of along those lines, but I like the idea of like thinking about dying and being like, I think that's a great like foil to a lot of the shit that we like think is important. I get all mad in traffic or I get upset my daughter spilled milk or something like that. I'm like, I'm gonna be dead soon and no one's gonna give a shit about this or me or any of these things. And I think it's like, okay, well that's like, and that can be a little more relaxed now, you know? So I like that aspect of it. In terms of like the self-loathing and personal angst, it's like, I feel like there's a lot of like positivity and stuff like that. I'm an optimistic kind of guy. I'm pretty positive. I think people around me would say that, but I also think there's a time and a place to like get mad at yourself. Like, yeah, you like, if you suck, if you are like setting like, I want to do this and you're never fulfilling. If you are like, if you have goals that you're not pursuing, if you like, made a commitment and then didn't follow through. Yeah, you fucking suck. You need to own that. Like, because there's no way to like be like, it's okay. You tried pretty hard. Like, that's mediocrity. That's average bullshit. I don't have any tolerance for that. So like, you need to be honest with yourself about like the places that you suck and you need to work to improve those places. You know, like if you were like pushing 300 pounds and you need to lose weight. Like, it's not. I can't say like, you know what, Nick, it's okay to be 300 pounds. It's honestly not. You need to get healthy. That is going to be a drain on your lifestyle. It's, you're never going to be able to like rise to your complete potential. Like, you need to fix that. And so like to kind of like bounce around and be like, oh, you know what? Everyone's perfect just the way they are. Fucking bullshit. You know, we need to like look that stuff in the eye and then deal with it. So when you look yourself in the eye and you're like, I don't like who I am. I don't like the way I look. You need to fix it. Don't go like some like pansy ass like self-love route. That's not going to fix the issue at the end of the day. That might be a band-aid. And yeah, self-love is important. It's important to accept ourselves. But like, it's also important to like love who we can possibly be and love the potential that we have.
Yeah, to take a growth mind and to not use self-love as an excuse for your current state and become complacent.
Yeah. I think there's a time and a place, you know, like I often will think like I get on like the rower or do something. I'll think, you know what? Fuck Nate Palmer. I deserve every second of what's going to happen to me in this workout. I think that's like, that's not all the time, but there's a time and place for that. Or yeah. Like, you know, like you get on like, especially for rowing. Rowing is just tough. You've done the erg, you've done like 10,000 meters or anything like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a time where you're just like, man, I just not do this? Can I get off this? And I think at that point you go, fuck me. This, like, you don't get to dictate when it's done. Like, the machine dictates when it's done. Castmate dictates when it's done. You just have to sit and you have to suffer through it. So fuck you. So.
And you can see how your performance differs when you're self-loving and forgiving to yourself. And then also when you take the other approach and probably not going to, when it comes to fitness, probably not going to prevail with a overly self-loving mindset.
I work for some people. I feel like I like my method and I don't know. I think it's contrary to like kind of the like where we are as a society where everyone gets a trophy and everyone's a winner no matter what. I think it's important to heal yourself.
Yeah, because you're capable of more and you only get there if you push yourself. How do you feel about supplements, whether that's like for general health, pre-workout, post-workout, intra-workout?
I love them. You know, I think supplements are great. Can be used like definitely in like a lot of great ways. There's a lot of cool stuff out there. A lot of like amazing science happening. So I think that like they're obviously called supplements, not mandatory. So as long as you're using them supplementally on top of a great diet and great training program and like hitting enough sleep and drinking enough water, because no supplement, no matter what, is going to help you fix big gaping holes in your like self-care. But I think used appropriately, like there's a lot of good ones out there. I take protein powder basically every day. I've been doing like the muscle egg flavored egg whites. I love those. It's so nice to be able to pour a big glass. I take creatine pretty much on a regular basis. Been playing around with some other like pre-workout stuff like beetroot extract, citrulline malate, and things like that. But I like it because it's fun and it keeps me kind of engaged with new stuff. I like to read the research and then also like see what's working for other people. So I really like them.
Creatine's a really cool one. It's well studied for like physical performance, and also like emerging research is coming out showing how it helps with mental performance.
Yeah. I have my little sister takes creatine. I told my grandparents to take creatine, like try everybody on it. Cause it's already in the food we're eating and have been eating since we were kids. So like all it is just like a little bit more of a compact, easily digested form.
There's a lot of myths around it too, such as it being hard on the kidneys in people that don't have any pre-existing kidney conditions.
Yeah, that's been pretty much categorically proven incorrect though.
Yeah, exactly.
As well as people being like, well, I just don't want to be bloated. Well, it's not really that, so.
Yeah, and once you stop taking it, any bloat you might have goes away too.
Yeah, and I don't even think that there's a lot of like bloat too. I think that's largely overhyped. I think you'll get maybe like a tiny bit more fluid retention in your muscles just because that's what the way like the creatine like operates. But out of 10 people, 9 of them won't notice a difference on the scale or in the mirror.
Mm-hmm. In my pre-workout, I use, let's see, the mushroom cordyceps because I actually, it's one of the few things I take and I feel. I use citrulline malate. I use sometimes beetroot, beta alanine, sometimes a small dose of niacin and creatine. Are there any things that have caught your eye or on your radar about adding to a pre-workout shake?
I've been doing a stim-free pre, but this kind of sounds like what you're doing.
Yep.
I was taking this product from Advocare called O2 Gold, which was really awesome. Like I'm not a huge fan of like a lot of the companies that are like, oh, you need to take all of our whole line, you know?
Yeah.
I'm always distrust proprietary brands, but like I would take this and I would feel like I had way more stamina and endurance. And so they had like a couple different things in there, like a beetroot extract, they had like a golden root extract and a couple other things. So I've been trying to pull out pieces and try them individually and see what was working. So I don't like, I've been taking like a beetroot extract with a 6 grams of citrulline malate as a pre-workout. I honestly don't know how much difference I'm seeing. Also, I'm seeing some research now about citrulline being like so-so with regard to like vasodilation. So I don't know, jury's still out, but are you taking out a product or are you just kind of putting it together yourself, Nick?
No, so I've taken a bunch of different products over the years and I'm back to just a bunch of ingredients that I found that I liked at one time or another, and now I just mix in my own. Every week on Sunday, I will mix up a week's worth of different ingredients and then take those when I need it. And like you said, mine's also stim-free.
Yeah, I think that stim-free is the way to go because like caffeine is a vasoconstrictor. During a workout, you don't want your to get less, you want more blood flow, so... and then plus if I take any sort of caffeine after about 11 a.m., I am lit all night. So,
yeah, I'm the same way. I've heard a quote that caffeine before, I guess coffee before noon is medicine and after it's poison, which holds true for me.
Yeah, for me, for sure.
What are some of the things that you're interested in up to these days?
A lot of like, I like fitness and nutrition. I really like talking about it. I feel like I've had a similar, like same conversations over and over again. So what I've really been loving talking about recently is like as business stuff. I like talking to like experts and coaches and stuff like that on, because like, I feel like they're just kind of my people, but I like helping people develop their own businesses and bring a business online and chat about marketing stuff. I think psychology is really interesting. Also parenting. I'm recently just became a father of two. So been most of my free mental power has been going to, you know, carrying around a small child and helping my 3-year-old out do stuff and trying to take things in stride and also like enjoy the moment, which is maybe harder than it seems. It feels like it's easy to get caught up and be like, I just want this baby to be a year old already. But like knowing that this time will never come again, I'm never going to have this opportunity. So I'm trying to stay in it.
How are you learning the way to effectively parent?
My favorite learning style is talking to people who are good at stuff. So yeah. Like I've read a couple of books, but like, I really just love hitting people up and being like, yo man, like you're a good dad. What do you do in this situation?
What are some of the core essentials you bring with you when traveling? Cause I, when I travel, have a small bag, it's just a backpack. And if I travel for more than, or less than a week, I'll bring that and no other bags. And so everything that goes in there has been vetted thoroughly. For the fitness stuff, it's basically just a jump rope, bands, BFR bands, and a couple little elastic bands for mobility stuff. What are some of the other things that you carry with you?
I'll bring a TRX with me or a suspension trainer with me. And what I do is like I'll pack everything up and then I take the TRX and I wrap it around like the perimeter of the stuff. And I zip it or fold it or whatever else. So that always comes. And then I love the half inch band, like that red band, the 40 inch red band.
Yeah.
So I'll do a million things with that. I do pull parts like they run out of style. Mm-hmm. You know, all my warm-ups come with that. But I think for the most part, if I'm traveling for a week, I do the TRX, all I need.
Nice and simple. Well, Nate, we're running low on time. Where can those that are interested connect with you?
Well, if they're still interested after all the rude things I've said today, you can find me, the best place to connect with me on Facebook called Million Dollar Body. Again, my frame is always, how do busy professionals drop fat fast without sacrificing the rest of their life? So if you're looking for like trainings on nutrition and exercise and like free resources and stuff, like that's a great place to go. So if you get to get to that, go to n8trainingsystems.com/group. We'll take you there. You can also connect with me on Instagram at n8training. Twitter the same. You know, I'll just give you my home address. You can just stop by for a beer, you know, whatever.
And all these will be in the show notes. Nate, I have one more question for you before we go on to the rapid fire round.
Oof. All right.
Okay, this is one I ask all guests, and imagine that there's a worldwide burning of the books. All knowledge materials on Earth are gone, including podcasts, videos, books, lectures, all that. You get to choose three works that you want to keep. What would they be, and why?
I feel like in this scenario, if there's a worldwide burning of the books, then like I got more problems than like trying to build a business, more of like a wilderness survival guide, one of those to start. Chris Voss's book, Never Split the Difference, is one of my tops. I read it every year.
Yeah.
And then I feel like there's definitely like better answers that I'm gonna think about on the way home today, where I'm gonna be like, dang it, that was so much better. I should have said that. But I love a book called The Power of Your Subconscious Mind by Dr. Joseph Campbell. I try to read that one once a year, once every 2 years. That's just talking about how to program your mind for solutions and prosperity.
It sounds like it's one of the original ones, too.
Yeah, it's old school. It's like, I think it was written in the 60s.
I'll check it out. What's the best or worst advice you've ever received?
Is this rapid fire round?
Yes.
Best advice, when I was working as a trainer, I quit that job because I was like, I need to get a real job and become an adult. So I got a job at a Kaplan online university, a for-profit university. And one of my mentors at the time was like, bro, quit that job right now. That was great advice. Also, same mentor is like, yo, you need to marry that girl. And I did. And it was great advice too. So, yeah.
That highlights the importance of mentors right there.
Gotta have someone who can see that shit. So you can see that shit in your teeth and be like, bro, get that out of you.
I like to highlight that we're all human and are constantly learning. At least we should be constantly learning. What's something that you've changed your mind on in the last year?
Yeah, rest times. Rest times for hypertrophy. Recently, research has been coming out. It's like 3 minute rest between like top end sets to failure for maximum hypertrophy. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'll just tweak that a little bit.
What's something that your tribe doesn't know about you?
Oh, I got one for you. Yeah. So what most people probably don't know about me is that rather than being in karate when I was younger, like I wanted to, or martial arts, my mom put me into a thing called clogging. So it's not like with the wooden shoes, but really close. If you're not good enough to tap dance, you go clogging. That's what it was. So I did clogging for like 2 years.
Are there any videos of you online?
I don't know if they're online, but they definitely got some home videos because this was like, you know, 97, 98. Mm-hmm.
Nate, how would you like to conclude our journey together tonight?
with some ayahuasca, if possible. If I was going to leave it with something, then like one of the big things I've been talking about recently, I think is really important for people to realize that like to start your fitness journey to like wherever you're at with it, like if your goal is to put on, you know, like put on a bunch of mass, or if it's to run a marathon, or if it's to drop 100 pounds, really the first step and then the only important step is the mental switch you need to make. You need to realize that no matter what your goal is, if you don't quit, you can't lose. So whether that's financial, physical, whatever it is, if you don't quit, you cannot lose. So making that decision right now is the most important decision you're going to make, because you already won. You've already been victorious if you make that decision. If you don't make that decision, if you kind of get wishy-washy on the fence, you've already lost. You've already, like, no matter what supplements or cool diets, whatever else you try, you've already lost. So the key is make the decision, decide right now, decide one time, and then go from there.
Yes. Stick with it. You don't quit, you can't lose.
That's right.
Well, Nate, it's been a pleasure talking to you tonight. Thank you for your time and joining me on the Mind Body Peak Performance Show.
Absolutely, Nick. Thanks a lot for having me, man. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode. Head over to Apple Music, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts and leave a rating. Every review helps me bring you thought-provoking guests. As always, you can find the show notes for this one at mindbodypeak.com/episode. There, you can also chat with other peak performers or connect with me directly. The information depicted in this podcast is for information purposes only. Please consult your primary healthcare professional before making any lifestyle changes.